Today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph.
The Mar Tov to everyone.
Thank you, thank you. And we got up to the second line. Tana Rabbana. Sukkah Gezula. We're getting back now to the sugya of Gezela. We spoke about over here the dinim, really, of Lulav HaGazel. The only reason we're bringing this here is because since we began the question about Karka Nigzelet, when we're talking about the Avankari, so we have the same Shaila Legavi Sukkah. Case of a Sukkah Gezula, or Misachech Bereshut HaRabim. Now that means, because we put these two together, it means that we're talking about a case of Gezula, not where you had the sticks that you use for the Sukkah that are Gezula, but rather the actual place of the Sukkah Gezula, which is similar to the case of the Avankari that we just had. Now, the Gemara would be medayik, the comparison of the Sukkah Gezula to someone who is Misachech Bereshut HaRabim, that clearly that's what it's referring to. Therefore, it's not the same as the case that we had earlier. The case that we had earlier could be talking about you picked up a whole sukkah and you just removed it from the guy's pickup truck. You know, we had a sukkah barosh agala, as Rashi points out earlier. But over here, the problem is that you have a mechubel lekarka. Basically, the karka itself is considered to be a gezula. So Rabbi Eliezer posel v'chachabim machshirim. The truth is that what we could simply say is that this is really a machlokes, which is l'shitatam. Because there's a machlokes, this is terrible, machlokes in Obakama about whether karka is nigzelet. So if you all, and this it works out perfectly l'shitasa, because Rabbi Eliezer holds over there karka is nigzelet. So if karka is nigzelet, this becomes a sukkah, that would be a sukkah gezula. And therefore, he would be saying that it's possible. Mashenkin the Rabbanan who holds that it's not gozul, it's not possible to be gezul karka, so it would have a din of a sukkah shurula. Because it's basically, okay, in a case of a lulav, that's no good. But in a case of a sukkah, there's no problem, because ko yitzol yitzim b'sukkah echad. So therefore, we could have simply said that. We don't want to say that, because it isn't true. It isn't true in the sense that it isn't dependent on their shitas. It's true, it's an easy way out to say this is a machlokes based on those shitas. But the truth is it would work out either way, and that's why the Gemara wants to point out that we don't want to take the easy way out of here. And what we could say is, Omrim Nachman, machlokes b'shetokefet chaveiro v'hotziyo misukato. The question over here is like this. Somebody goes, picks up a guy and throws him out of a sukkah. And now he sits in his sukkah. So there's a problem over here is that the mechubel lekarka, the whole area, was stolen. So this is Rebbe Eliezer l'shitasa d'yomer ein adam yotzei yedecho v'tobe sukkato shel chaveiro. We saw before, Rebbe Eliezer's shita is, that you're not yotzei with sukkahs chaveiro. There was the whole story of Rebbe Eliezer and Shef Seamoy, the sukkah that we had earlier. So therefore, according to him, it really doesn't matter whether sukkah is a karka is an exilet or not, because even if it's a borrowed sukkah, it's not kosher. Therefore, according to him, we could say, e karka an exilet, so then it's a sukkah gezula. It happens to be that that is Rebbe Eliezer Shita. Okay, so this is the truth, is that it would be a sukkah gezula. But the truth is, inami karka in an exilet, even if the din would be that karka is not an exilet, it would still be a sukkah she'ulahi. Therefore, according to him, sukkah she'ulah is also possible, because he doesn't darshan earlier the din that everybody gets at the same sukkah. I mean, that was the whole shaila we had. So why doesn't every family member have to sit in a separate sukkah that belongs to themselves? But that was really a shita. And the Rabbanan, again, the easy way out would be to say this Rabbanan l'shitasan, who hold that l'may sekarka in an exilet. Okay, but again, we want to talk about the reality, that it wouldn't matter what the shita was. So therefore, if it comes down to the question, v'adam yotzi yedecho v'ato, v'sukato shechaviro, so the Rabbanan would hold that l'maisa, a person can be yotzi yedecho v'ase, with somebody else's sukkah, as we paskin. V'karka in an exilet, they do hold v'sukah shu'ulei. Aval gazal etzim, v'sichech behem. Divrei Yaakov, ein lo ela d'mei etzim. Shinken, if the mice you stole the wood of the sukkah, surprisingly, there's no problem. if he stole raw wood, he made the sukkah out of it, because there we get into another issue. We get into the issue of takonas morish. Takonas morish, morish means a beam. Takonas morish means that if somebody stole a roof beam and ends up building his house with that roof beam. So because of takanat hashavim, people want to do teshuva. But it's very hard to do teshuva when it costs so much money. So Rabbana made a takana that in such a case, you don't have to return the actual beam. It's tremendously damaging to tear down your house. So therefore you could pay. So the Gemara over here says, okay, the mice, if you built your sukkah, you don't have to tear down your sukkah. So once you don't have to tear down your sukkah because of the Drabbanan, so now it turns out that the Drabbanan basically are saying that this chayfetz is not shaykh to the other person anymore, because if it were, there would be a chiyuv of Hashava. In which case, there's no problem of using the sukkah. Of course, the question over here is, it's all very nice, what happened to the issue of mitzvah ba'aveira? How come we're ignoring b'chlal hosik of mitzvah ba'aveira over here? Before we said, I mean, if karka is nigzalet,
you're using it with consent, no?
No, no consent. He stole it. He stole the guy's wood. He stole the guy's wood. So, in Achinami, the Baal HaMor says over here that the sugi apparently is, the entire sugi is based on against Rav Shimon Bar Yochai before. Now, we don't say the din of mitzvah boba vira by sukkah. Apparently, this shita holds here. This whole shita holds that the raya of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is true, but only in terms of korbanos, because over there we're trying to be merat. So ritzui, using ritzui, Takadosh Baruch Hu with a something that is gozel was ridiculous. Mashenki to be makayim a mitzvah, which is not a din in ritzui, over there maybe there's no problem on mitzvah baba there. However, other Rishonim argue, and they say there's no problem in this sugya b'chlal, to the sugya before, because the takanas morish would be the equivalent of a shinui hashem. This is what we said earlier. Once you have a shinui hashem, so then this is like a different chayfetz. The Rabbanan gave it a din as if it's a different chayfetz. And b'chlal, you should know there's a problem in the sugya libet Taisvis. According to Taisvis, anything that would accomplish an actual kinyan for the Gazlan is not considered to be any more a mitzvah b'aver. Not like Rash. But it's all through the sugya of year, he pushes in this pshat, which is, it's a little bit strange. In other words, if, let's say, Yush would be kaina, then despite the fact that you were the one that did it, once it's kaina, so taka belongs to you. That's how he understands the whole thing about it should be a shinui rishus now. So he brings rayas. According to him, it's very difficult to fit in the sugya of mitzvah baba be'avera. But we'll talk about that as we go on. We're going to go through all of the minim here. Each min has its own problem.
Who was the first opinion?
The Baal HaMor.
Yeah. What about the derisa of Lechem? That's the matter of the first.
Yeah, opinion. That's the problem. The problem is Lechem. So according to Rabbi Lezer, we don't pask it. You mean Lecha. I mean, same idea. It's we darshan l'cha, Reb Eliezer darshan l'cha to be the same as l'chem. That's exactly what we're saying over here. That's why you wouldn't be yaitzik, because it isn't yours. But apparently a problem in mitzvah b'aveira is not the problem here. Once it has a shame of being yours, then it's okay. We're saying it's dependent on whether karka is an exelot. What does that mean? Karka and exelot, l'maisa shouldn't matter. Because even if karka is an exalt, the din of karka and exalt is a question of whether it becomes yours through years. Rashi learned before that isn't going to make an afkamina, because if you're the one that got it that way, so then it's all very nice, maybe, that it's an exalt, but it got to you through an avera. Right? So well, who cares whether it's exalt? Why don't you have to worry about that? Apparently we're not concerned. Okay, again.
If we gazal we don't say it's takanat marish.
Yeah, over here, if you use the Eitzim, we do.
No, it's Schach.
Eitzim.
Eitzim is for the
Fanot,
maybe. But
yeah, you will see that even if it's not Kavua, we'll see in a moment, it says Sichech here. Gazal Eitzim is Sichech. So apparently it's the Schach too, right? So the question, there is a bit of a question as to whether it's Dafka because of Takanas Morish or because it's considered to be a Shinui Hashem, maybe. Because before it was just Eitzim, and now it's considered to be a roof, now it's considered to be a sukkah. Maybe it's even a Shinui Maisa once I'm convinced. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Besichech behem. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Gemara is going to just now is going to start talking about the difference between a bim and a schach. But now we're saying even on Eitzim. It should be the same. And in fact, there was a Hisafta. There was this grandma who came to Reb Nachman's Beis Din. I skipped.
Did we do that? No.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I skipped. Up. Wait 1 minute.
Three lines up. Then line memai.
How do we know? How do we know that we're talking about
Eitzim?
Not that he stole Eitzim, but that he stole the actual place of the sukkah. What other point would there be in putting in the part about a mesafeh Rosh Hasharabim? What exactly are you adding? The only point of talking about Rosh Hasharabim is to put the two together and to teach me that just like Rosh Hasharabim, what's the problem in Rosh Hasharabim? Not the wood. Not the schach, the place. The karka is lavdideh. So then that means that the earlier case of sukkah gezula is referring to the same type of thing. So to the sukkanami, lav karka dideh. You know, it's interesting that the one sukkahs that we have information about historically is again Nefenya. And over there it says beferish, everybody built their sukkah in the street. You're not yotze if you build it in the street.
Like that one there?
Yeah, like that one there.
You're not yotze, but that, he's not
yotze. Well, that's the question. According to Acholim Machshir, it would only be the Avad. So how did everybody have? According to Rabbi Lez, you're not even yotze. So how in the world did they build in the street? That's running that discussion.
Everybody in the street.
Oh, so there's a number of different approaches. Some learn that in a Rishus Arabim, everyone can agree. If everybody gives their chalak to everybody else to build a sukkah, so then it would be kosher even lechatchil according to Rabbanu, it would be kosher even
for Rebbe. There's only one guy who's going to make a sukkah.
Exactly. Others learn. There's these unreasonable people that when people build houses on top of their roof, they get all hot under the collar. You know, those kind of people, I mean, they would never go for it, right? So, but others learn that you can't get, it's not that they need shutfas. Rosh Hashanah is not even a shutvis, that you can have the shutvim to agree, because we would find this bechlal, there's a whole question about a different level of ownership, it's a corporate ownership. Corporate ownership is not really shutv ownership, it's a different type of ownership. Public ownership is an ownership, but it won't help for the entire public that exists at one point to agree, because the public extends beyond the particular people that are agreeing anyway. Tomorrow one of these guys may die and another guy may become bar mitzvah or a kid born, depending on the halachas. So how can they agree? What's their business? So there, the Rishonim that agree over there hold that it was a Tznai Bezdin. That Bezdin, at the point, the same time, that was the same period that they made the big gatherings and the tshuva gatherings and so on, that was part of a takana that Bezdin has made. Others say, very interesting, that at the Knesset of Haaretz, they had made a t'nai that sukkahs you're allowed to build in Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the t'nayim like made by Yeshua, but not the original, the time that they came in then. They were coming in now to be Rima Kaddish Eretz Yisrael. So they had made that a t'nai that for sukkahs you can build outdoors
and
build
houses
for
Shas.
So some say that, of course, this is only if it's not B'mokam Hiluch Harav. If it's the Mokum Hiluch HaRabim, where people bamish walk through, let's say like that's the Chabad Sukkah over there. That's over there, that's not just Rosh HaRabim, it's Hiluch HaRabim. So the Rabim come walking through all the time. You can't build a Sukkah where you're being gezel b'peil alich of the Rabim. So besides the question of whether it's considered to be Mechitzas, it's Pakua, and you walk right through. But what they have over there is they have that little extended porch. You notice a little porch on the side, hangs over the cardo. So that's the only part that could be kosher. It's the only part that has the mechitzas that are not pekayin. Shabbos, whether it's big enough, that's another question. It could be just large enough.
But really, what about when they went up to Ali Arev, the regal? Where did they put their sukkahs? Wasn't that public?
Yeah, that's what it's talking about. Right. So that's therefore.
First came to Eretz Yisrael.
And also they'd have to be by the Balabatim. Yeah.
People added to
Lechora. I mean, it's the first time we find a mention of it. Whether it was early, it's certainly not mentioned in the Gemara. That's one of the Tanayim. So I mean, it must be a later thing.
What did they have to do? I mean,
they'd have the same place they go to. Where do they go to the rest of the entertainment?
Hotel, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Go to people's houses, hotels, okay.
Mm-hmm. Can the Zayin Tuve Ha'ir decide that
yeah.
You can?
Yeah, that's what it was saying. Basically, it's a Tanai, either if it's a local Rosh Hashanah, so the Tuve Ha'ir can decide. Who was best? He said it was talking about the Shah, it was talking about the Shah in front of the Beis HaMikdash over there, the whole area. So, that's according to Rambam, Yerushalayim is a Shah HaMikdash too. Anyway, so a particular old woman came just in time because I'm really running out of voice completely. So, a certain old lady who the Reish Galusa's servants, Reish Galusa's servants used to be a real, real gang. You know, so they made a lot of trouble. Very similar to today. You know? So, not like the police, that's for sure. Those are not criminals. A little bit of stealing on the side, let's say, mitzvah. Anyway, the Reish Galusa needed some wood for a sukkah, and they went and they stole it. They took it from this old lady, and they built a sukkah for the Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa, of course, everybody would come in during sukkahs. Means that all of the Gedalei Torah were sitting there in a stolen sukkah. So she comes screaming to Reb Nachman, who's the head of the Beis Din. She said, "I just want you to know that Reish Galusa and all of the rabbanim that are sitting in the Reish Galusa are sitting in a sukkah gzula. I just want you to know. What do you want to do about it?" And she's sitting there screaming, Yasvi Tzavcha, she's sitting and screaming, V'lo Hashkar Bar Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman refuses to even look, he's not listening to the B'chlo. What are you screaming about? So she really gets upset. So then she says, "This is outrageous! Eat the Tada Avi Leilavu Tlat Meyavit Manisre Avde." Listen here, this is not just any plebeian who came in here. This is a woman whose father owned 318 avodim, referring to Avram Avinu. It says he took 318 of his avodim and he went and he chased over there to recover the property. So, Tzavka Kamato, she's sitting here and yelling, the chutzpah, the lash kachitubah. You don't pay any attention to such a woman. Who do you think I am? She figured that would really get her. She knew how to manipulate him. So Reb Nachman talks to the guys over there in front of him. She says, "Wow, pa'ita hita. Boy, this one's a really a noisy one. I'm telling you, didn't make much of an impression on him. But Lamaisa, why was he ignoring her? What does she want to do? She wants to sue? Let her sue. It has nothing to do with the sukkah. She's decided there's a problem in the sukkah. First, let her ask a shayla if there's a problem. There's no problem in the sukkah. Because the sukkah is a takanas morish. So what's her, either that got a smarish or because it was a shinui. Again, Rashi offers the possibilities. But the point is that she made up her mind that the sukkah is possible. The moment she comes in here like a mensch and she tries to sue for her wood, we'll be happy to deal with the case. Somebody walks in and decides they know the din, and I'm the one that's supposed to act because they decided what the din is. She can scream all she wants. I'm not even turning to watch her. Tough.
Yeah.
That's why it's that it would be Gosling.
Yeah.
That's cute. That's interesting. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh
B'Dvaro. Amen.
Omer Avina, but we just said even he would be made, remember. The case was all Ramati. But Lamaisa, you don't mean that, I mean, because we just said they're not arguing in case of stealing the wood. Even Rabbi Eliezer is made up. Yeah, and that's what he's saying. So, Amar Ravina, Haikshur Dimitalalta Gezulam. Avi Rabbana Takanta Mishum Takanas Morish. You should know that also, if you took a beam that you built your sukkah with, that would also have a Takanas Morish. I understand. That's obvious, no? I mean, you just said even the piece of wood is a Takanas Morish. So, I mean, Koshke in the Borish is a Takanas Morish. What are you trying to say? Mashnami hates him, and I said, why is it any different?
Isn't that kind of Hashem, yeah?
What, not to listen to her?
Also, but to have a consort.
To have what?
To have a sukkah gazula. I mean, to have a wood gazula is a kind of Hashem.
Who's going to know?
What?
I'm
saying the din chilul Hashem, right? Maybe you're right with the
din. It's very bad. You're right. It's terrible. Unfortunately, if we're going to go measuring those kind of Kol Hashems, we'd have to redo everything. You know? So what's the Kiddush over here? Instead, if you're telling me Pasha the Eitzim that I would have to tear down my sukkah is considered to be Takonas Morish Bishum Takonas Hashomim, because it's such a hassle. The Kol Shekein has the actual beam itself that holds the whole sukkah up. I mean, for sure, it's very very damaging to have to tear that down. Says the one on the contrary, Ma'u Detena Eitzim, I might have thought that Dafka Eitzim are Takona, because Shechichim, it's not such a bad thing. What the guy is demanding his wood back. I told the guy, he said, what does it cost you? It's no tirch at all. You just go ahead, he'll give you the money, order the wood, they'll bring you the same wood. Why does he have to tear down his sukkah? Dafka to satisfy your sense of justice. It's the same wood, Nafkamina. But over here, the Marish is difficult to find. That already is not so partial to get the Marish. So maybe over there, maybe they didn't make the takona. Aval haylo shchicha. Over here, the actual kaira itself, it's not so partial. Emolo. So maybe over there, the guy could say, it's very difficult to find a piece of wood of this size.
Is this anything to do with Sukkot in general? If you build a house?
No, this is Sukkot. In general, for sure, there's a takona. Remember that what we're doing over here.
Beam and build a house. You
don't have to give back the beam. That's for sure. Let's wait another line and you'll see what the balance is. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili Begoshiva. This is the Chiddush. That this halacha of the takona in this case is dafka when it's betoch Shiva Simeachag. Avalabosa Shiva after Shiva Simeachag Hoda Be'ine. Then it has to be returned as it is. Kein Shagaza. So in other words, what we're dealing with over here is a very fascinating extension of the takonon. As we're saying, even though the maisa, this is not a permanent damage, it's not like you're tearing down the roof of your house. We're over there, adarabba, the more choshev it is, the less we make you tear it down, right? Over here, it's fascinating. It's the opposite. Because it's the whole question over here is, I have my sukkah. I'm only going to be using my sukkah for these 7 days. So in the mele, during these 7 days, it's very troublesome to tear down my sukkah. So over there, we look at it in the opposite way. Maybe the way to focus on it is the question, since the whole thing is temporary anyway, is the question of how much you're causing the other guy problems. So if I'm good, this is what his havamina was. Therefore, he felt it was necessary to state it. If we're talking about tzchach, which is easy to find, okay, so fine, I understand that the Rabbanan said, even though the Maisa, your use is temporary, you don't need to tear down even a temporary sukkah. Why? Because it's easy for him to find a replacement, you just pay him. Now, Shankin, if something is difficult to find a replacement, and the Maisa, this isn't really a takonas marish, because it's not mechuber. So I understand, the Rabbanan didn't say on something that isn't mechuber, that there's a takonas marish, you're saying, since it's sukkahs, we'll give it a din of a takonas marish. So maybe in a chinami, something that's problematic to find, we wouldn't make that extension of Takanas Marish. So this is an unusual case. But if, Lamaisa, says the Gemara, if you had made it permanent, so let's say that you connected it with cement at this point, so then, Ichibro Betina, if you connected it with cement, so then, Afiluliyah Hashiva Nami Yoevlikdomi, then even after Sukkis, you would be paying for the monetary value of the Korah. And not for, you wouldn't have to actually tear down your it's no longer a sukkah. You no longer have to tear down the extension of your house, which is going to be used for sukkahs, but now it's permanent.
You're helping the guy out, you're making his house arrive.
That's a nice one. Maybe we should all go out and get to work.
Does it make a difference if he sold for his sukkah and made his sukkah puzzle? And...
No.
The
we're always kinder to the criminals.
Especially in South Africa.
This is the mucker.
Especially in South Africa.
Maybe they're talking about
condominium.
Somebody put
your
sukkah down in the public area. One of the residents complained. So
what's
the judge?
Yeah, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Everybody relies on that. It happens very often that the neighbors, even if it's not in a public area, they just complain about it being on your porch. So they complain, but you always have a week to take it down. So it's never
maybe by the takana, does it apply to mass-produced goods? Or even if it's a special, one-of-a-kind type thing, would you also say once he's built in
the that we'll see when we get to Baba Kama. Let's discuss it. How far we go into the conversation. Tanya. Yavesh pasul. Okay, so now we've spoken about the lakachtem lachem. We've spoken about the question of the mitzvah baba vera, and we've spoken even about the shaila, the extended shaila, whether karka is nigzelet. All of that was brought here because of the words of the Mishnah that said gezula. How about yavesh? Yavesh we haven't gone into yet. So the Braisa says yavesh pasul. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Omar Rava machloket belulav. The only machlokes is whether a lulav that's yavesh is possible. The Rabbanan savri machshina lulav laetrog. Rabbanan say a lulav has to be learned from the etrog because the minim are put together. Therefore, the Torah was makishna. Ma etrog boy hadar. So just like the etrog is defined as priates hadar. Aflulav boy hadar. Rabbi Yehuda sovar lo makshina lulav laetrog. Hashainkin Rabbi Yehuda holds we don't compare the lulav to the etrog. But the etrog itself, for sure, it can't be yavesh. Divrei hakol hadar be'ina. Now, there's a very, very chashuv machlokas here, a universal machlokas v'geya all over Shas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda is machshir because he wasn't mekabel the hekesh, and the only thing that you're allowed to do on your own of any of the midash ater nedreshes b'hem is a kal v'chaymer. And that's why we listed earlier when we were talking about the milas of the Talmidim of Villas, okay? So we listed Kalim v'chamurim, as Kalim v'chamurim are things that you have to work out on your own. But all of the other midas are midas that you have a Kabbalah on. So you can't darshan a hekesh on your own. Tosfos blows up at this. This is absolutely crazy. You can even darshan smuchim on your own, and we bring a raya that you could darshan smuchim from smuchim la'ad lo'olam asim b'emes v'yosha. The Gemara brings that as a right, of a right to Darshan Smuchim. And Rabbi Yehuda, even where he doesn't darshan, but where he does Darshan Smuchim. Darshan Smuchim on his own. A Hekish is the ultimate Smuchim. Mm-hmm. Smuchim are two separate Tzukim, they're near each other. A Hekish is something that's written inside the same Pasuk. How can you say you don't darshan a Hekish on your own? Other Rabbis says, the only one of the Midas that you can't darshan on your own is Dafka the Gzerah Shabbat. Because over there, you need a Kabbalah that the word used in this particular way is meant to be a Gzeira Shabbat. Anyway, fascinating machlokas. So therefore, according to Tosfos, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of the Hekesh? It's a clear-cut Hekesh. Says, Tosfos, over here, it's a question of Svora. There are certain things that the concept of Hadar, if Rabbi Yehuda is learning, that one suggestion Tosfos is interesting, is that the word Hadar is only suitable on a fruit. The idea of hadar, I mean, it's a fruit that's beautiful. It's perfectly formed. That tree is like much more loose. You know, branches and this, I mean, they go all different ways. A fruit is something that everybody looks at and is careful. And it's the absolute la creme de la creme of the tree, right? So over there, you could take a look at hadar. That's below a concept of the absolute perfection of a thing. It's like that's prit sadik. Pri tzaddik hadar. No, that's something else. That's another way. Pri tzaddar would mean that the identification of the pri tzaddar. That would be something else. If it's to come to identify which tree are we speaking about, the pri of the tzaddar, that's a whole different challenge, which we'll see later on. How do we understand that word hadar? Because that word hadar, there's many different approaches to what it means. It may mean beautiful, but it may also mean watery, from the Greek hydros. So hydros is hadar. Right, so that's only an esrei. As we'll see, it could also mean hadar, something that lives, meaning it stays there. An esrei is the only tree where it just keeps living there from year to year. If you don't pick it, it just stays there. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. Instead of falling off and so on, it's a very unique tree. We'll see, there's a lot of... We're going to be getting to that. But assuming over here that that's not the machlokas, see why we don't assume that that's the machlokas later, but assuming that that's not the machlokas, then the question is whether it's suitable to call something less than a fruit an actual hadar. And it's always the nature of the... Of the fruit, which we look at as beautiful. Right? Rashi learns, remember that they're connected. He brings, again, we spoke a few times about it, but it's because of Zekeli Vanveu that we're, the way I was explaining it yesterday, that he's trying to say, because Zekeli Vanveu means that Hadar applies even to the other days, even though it says B'yom HaRishon, which is one possibility. But it certainly is related, it's related to that idea. Bichlal, I mean, just in terms of the hashkafa of the issue, always the element of Hadar, that the svara that Tosfos is bringing, is a fundamental svara in terms of Kabbalah, because it's always genitals that are considered to be Hadar. That's why tzaddik is Hadar, that's Shmira Sabris. And fruits are genitals, basically. Because that's the zera of the tree, and therefore it's considered to be the most beautiful part of the tree. So I think Bichlal, all of our attention to beauty in nature is always genital. The flowers, we see the flowers are basically the genitals of the plants, or the fruit. It's the same thing with the tzaddik. The tzaddik creates Hadar because of the katzav shmir sabris. So it's specifically Yosef HaTzaddik is called. That's the rock of beauty. So the that which includes all of the potential of an organism in its perfection, that's all of its future, all of its potential, that's beautiful. Particular branch of tree, this, oh, okay, no, this went off, that went off, that, not so perfect. But that has to be perfect. So the tikkun of Bris Milah is a tikkun of Hadar, is a tikkun of Bina. That's the Zekeli Vadeo is said on Bris Milah because of that. So there's very fundamental elements here that this is mentioning in terms of Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's just a machlokas in Svara.
What does Rashi mean when he says Ma'as or Bayadah Hadar
Kiliksilbe? What is Kiliksilbe? Creates Hadar. No, I'm saying that if that would be it to the Nenochinami, we couldn't use it. But we'll see that that sounds so partial. I said we'll see what we get there later on. The word Hadar that's used by Nesek may not be identification. It may be Halach of Hadar. And even if it is, the fact that the Torah uses this as expressing its identification instead of something else might also be a raya that we're makbid dafka on its Hidur. And that's basically the assertion right now that the Gemara is making. Rav is tining, there's no question that Hadar, when it comes to the Esrog, is a din in Hidur, not only identification. And I taina that he would be made when it comes to Esrog. Now we're going to question that. But I taina, says Rav, of course Rav Yehuda is made then. The only question is whether it also applies to Lulav. So according to Rashi, it's because he didn't hold to the Hekesh. According to Tosfos, because the Hekesh can't apply to branches, it can only apply to a fruit. Asks the Gemara, Belulav Loboy, Rav Yehuda Hadar. First, before we question whether by an Esrog he does hold of Hadar, which was Rava's assertion, let's question Bichlal whether it's really true that there's no din of Hadar on a Lulav. Because Hatnan, it seems to be that it's the exact opposite. Rav Yehuda just said that in a case where you have Nifritzu Alav, so you had a case where the leaves extend now outward from the spine of the lulav. So he says, Yagdana Minamala. You have to tie the leaves on top so it looks at least straight. Where does he get that from? Where did he come up with such a thing from? My time, Lav Mishum Deboy Hadar? I mean, isn't that the point? That he's saying it doesn't look good. So therefore, make sure that it looks good and then it'll be a kosher lulav. He says, well, no, it's nothing to do with that. Kediktoni Taima. Rabbi Yehuda explains in a braisa, he explains the reasoning. Rabbi Yehuda and Rami Shum Rabbi Tarifon. Why does the Torah refer to lulav as kapot tamarim? You think kapot is a lotion of leaves of the tamar. There's other ways of saying leaves. The word kapot has a double meaning, because kapot means kafut. And kafut means that it's all tied up together. So therefore, the word that's chosen over here is a lulav that has its leaves attached to the shidra still. Therefore, if it isn't kafut, you better make it kafut. But that's part of the din of the lulav. It's nothing to do with the beauty of the lulav. So kapot is kafut. Vim haya parud. So if the leaves are spread, yichavtenu, you better put them together. Ah, come on, no boy, how can you say that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold of Hadar? But non, ein agreement of love ella bimino. Give Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says you cannot use to tie the lulav together anything besides the actual min of the lulav. Now, where would he get that from? My time, lav mishum deboy hadar, isn't it? Because you don't want to insert something else to take your your concentration away from the beauty of the leaves. It's, I guess it's a concentration on the beauty, no? Tosis points out, we could have said at this point, and if you're using gold, a beautiful gold holder, if that's a Pagamin Hodder, why would that be a Pagamin Hodder? Tosis maybe could have said, there's a timer. So why would it be possible if it's beautiful? But we already, before we get to that, we have a much more powerful answer. And it doesn't have to mean that it's something that you're using to hold is not a chatzitza.
When we say that,
but Lamaisa, then isn't that the din? When you okay, so we'll get to that problem. We get to that problem over here. It's lav dafka the beis yad. So la mishum de boy hodar. No, it can't be because of hodar, because Rava said that when Rabbi Yehuda said before that you need to use the min of the lulav, the min of the lulav could be very ugly. Because the sieve that grows around the bottom of the deck was also the min of the lulav. You're certainly not going to tell me that that's a pretty thing to put onto your lulav. Well, it looks like a piece of sackcloth, basically, right? The sieve in the bottom of the palm tree. Looks remarkably like sackcloth, actually. So, yeah, like burlap. Right? So Rava says that would be fine as long as it's the same species. And for that matter, if you want to take even the bark around the bottom, use that to stick the lulav in that. It's like a piece of wood. And it's certainly not pretty. Elamaitan, Rabbi Yehuda. What then is the real reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Ah, this is much, much more interesting than we thought. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds like this. Kasarvar lulav tzarich agad. Rabbi Yehuda's svar is, we'll see later on, that the lulav has to be tied. These three minim have to be tied. The imaita mina achrinas, so that means l'shitasa. If you bring another min, you now have created a non-lulav. Because now you have five minim. Now, Tosfos points, I understand. According to Rabbanan, it's even worse. If you hold it, you don't need agat. So anything like this, you could say, only things included in the agat. But according to Rabbanan, if I don't need agat, so according to them, it should be worse if I'm taking anything at all, even if it isn't mu'gat, I'm taking more than my arba minim. Tosfos points out a very beautiful thing. There's two separate issues. One issue is, are you going to be over on Baal Taisif? Okay, of course, according to Rabbanan, you for sure be over on Baal Taisif. If you add, it's like having a tefillin with five batim. So here you're going to have a lulav with five minim. That's Baal Taisif. But the question over here, according to Rabbanan, it's not going to pass the lulav. You had a lulav plus. Okay, so the plus you were over. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it turns out that you're adding the same as tefillin. It's not tefillin anymore. It's a five by a tefillin. So over here, it's a four agad lulav. A four agad lulav is not a lulav. Because according to him, the lulav, the agad is part of the dinim of the lulav itself. So that would be like saying, okay, what's the difference if I added another bayit to my tefillin? I have kosher tefillin plus another bayit. There's no such thing. These aren't tefillin. Tefillin are defined as having those four batim. So over here, the agad of the lulav is defined as these three minim, not whatever other min you put in there. So therefore, if I use another min, I've now ruined my lulav, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Besides the issue of baltos.
The question is, you should be able to tie up hadassah or
else. And chadami. That's right. Sure.
Anybody wants a lulav for going to a Yehuda? I have plenty of them.
Oh, is that what it was? A commercial. So why Dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda?
Oh, she can tie them together.
Okay, I'll come over and check. Oh, what time are you getting new ones?
Well, this evening they're being more today. Often.
What time? Don't give me your general vague. I want a time. Until you get an answer on it. These people that deal with accountants, they won't say anything that isn't exactly precise.
By the evening they will be here.
No, that's not good, because by the evening, 100 other people already came and went through them. How about if we make a little deal? I'll pay extra if you give me a call when they come.
I'm not going to have a look at the room we have.
So anyway, therefore, the Agar has nothing to do with the Din of Hadar. Because Rava said, Afil b'siv, Afil b'yikar d'vikra. V'yala mai taimer de Rebbe Yehuda Hassan, de kasarva lulav tzarech agad, v'yimai talmina achrina havelecha mishaminin. Since your lulav requires agad, you now have a non-lulav, because now you have a four lulav agad plus your esrog. Okay, so that handles the first part. But indeed, it's okay to say, as Rebbe Yehuda said himself, that a lulav does not require hadar, and there's no stira from these other dinim. But what Rava says, that Rebbe Yehuda would be made of that by an esrog, the din of hadar is not an identification of the esrog, it's a din of hadar. And therefore, was yovesh would be possible. Is that true? Esrog me by Rebbe Yehuda hadar. V'atanya arba'at minim shebelulav, kishem she'im pochatim mem, kach in mosifin alayim. So first the Brisa says, look, the same way that you cannot have a lulav minus one species, you cannot have a lulav plus a species. Lo matzei etrog. How about if you're missing an esrog? So you want to decide you're going to bring, how about instead of an esrog, I'll bring a pomegranate? You know, at least, we'll see later on, he says, at least to remember that there was a din in Priyei Tzadar. No, lo yavi lo parish, v'lo rimon, v'lo davar acher. No quinces, no pomegranates, no nothing. It's esrog or bust.
That's what the Samaritans do. They take
any citrus fruit. Davar acher. Furthermore, kimushin kisherin. So if they've started to wither the kosher, yaveshin psulin. Okay, that's a psul of hadar. Comes along Rebbe Yehuda and he says, Af yaveshin, I don't care if it's completely dry. The Omer Rebbe Yehuda, you should know, you know, there's people that live in places like New York. In places like that, they never see a tree. They have no idea what these things are. So they had these B'nai Krachim, these people who live in the big cities, they had from their great-grandfather this thing that grew, used to grow, and something came out of the ground called a lulav. So they would be Mirish, the lulav, for generations. So his great-great-grandchild had a lulav from the old days when people used to live on farms. It must have been awfully dry by the time it got to his great-great-grandson, no? So yo Mirishinet lulaveyem livnei v'neyem. Amar lahem nu, maybe shom raya that amru lo, which it's they said to him, that's not a raya. In shas atchak raya. I mean, the fact that you live in New York, okay, what are you supposed to do? I mean, there's no way to get anything green. But okay. But the bottom line for our purposes, katani miyad reviyud amar afkivation ksherim. It says over here, even yavish is kosher. I mean, I assume he's referring to any of the meaning. No, it's including an esrog. So my lava esrog, not like Rava. No, this is the Gemara is referring dafka to lulav, according to Rava, of course, because he's not makishit to be esrog. But that's the whole point that Rava's making. An esrog for sure can't be yavish. Omar ma, k'shem she'im pochatim hem kach ein mosifin alim. I don't understand. Is there a chiddush in that? I mean, well, pshita. Obviously, you can't now be mosif a different mina on the lulav. What kind of avamita would there be? No, because you see, now the time of Amr Rabbi Yehuda Lulav Tzarech Agad. See, my semina achrina haylechudekoy vaylechudekoy. I would think that the whole point is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, something that you're holding, that you're not ma'agid with the lulav. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should be more kal. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it would be part of the lulav, so that it would be tied to the lulav. So the hechrech, if I'm not tying it to the lulav, so then I'm specifically not taking it as part of the din of the lulav. So maybe there's no din of heisafa. Kamash malanda, nonetheless, holding it in your hand at the same time is also considered to be heisafa. And after all, your esrog is also not ogud. Right? Now, let me ask you something else. Is there a chiddush in telling me not to use a pomegranate? What's that all about? Omar mar lo matzei etrog lo yavi lo rimon v'lo parish v'lo davar acher. What am I crazy? Obviously, pshita. Maude teim. It's not. You're right. It's pashut means sadadin. But there's also times that we make takonas that people should at least remember the way it used to be. So maybe Mardatame Lysik Echadalotishtakach Peres Esrik. There's places where people live. They wouldn't see an Esrik in generations. So they'll think that a lulav, the Torah was Bechayvi, a lulav, is to use these 3 minutes, because they never had an Esrik. So maybe at least you should have something, and that way they'll remember there used to be another fruit that, I mean, it's not so funny. There were places where to get an Esrik was an unbelievable thing. You had to send a special shliach, and it was a half a year issue, and the price was unbelievable. There were places where they did, and they were matir all kinds of shasat chags because of this thing. But what if you don't even have that?
A lemon.
They didn't have lemons either. The question is, were the lemons worse or lemons better? It depends. Depends which sheet you hold. The lemon could be worse because they're for sure you think it would be that's a real esrog. But kamash v'lam zinid nothing. So I might think he hechad lo tishtakach teres esrog. Women. In order not to forget that there's such a thing as an esrog. Wait. Let me just finish the line. Kamash v'lam. Therefore, comes to teach us that we don't make such a cheshbon. Why? Because zinid nothing churva minei de'asilam yisrach. We're afraid that you'll end up actually coming to believe that a pomegranate is an esrog, or a lemon is an esrog, if you hold the lemon's not an esrog. Boy, would that be wonderful, huh? Okay. Yes, anything?
If you don't have the esrog, so it's better just to take two minimum and finish, or what?
Even though you're not yotze.
Is there any sense in taking
a lulav and a...
Without a
brocha.
Without a brocha.
Again, yeah, that it shouldn't be forgotten completely.
I have a pethek saying esrog musik.
Churva means a wreckage. It may end up making things worse instead of making things better. Toshma, okay? We're still worried about Rava's assertion. That Rabbi Yehuda be'etzem agrees that Hadar is a din of Hidur and not a din in what an esrog is. Toshma, etrog, it should say bistana, and Rabbi Hanano's girse is over here, hayovish, not hayashan. It's called hayashan. What does hayashan mean? Yashan is a concept that wasn't made, l'shem sukkah. I mean, that's not a concept that we find by an esrog. Indeed, Rabbi Hanano's girse is esrog hayovish. So esrog hayovish pasul, Rabbi Yehuda machshir, here you get as clear as you can get a statement that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of order. Even by the esrog. It says, Beferish, a dry esrog is kosher. Rav all along was claiming he was only saying that by a lulav, but by an esrog, for sure he would hold that a dry esrog is possible. It says, Beferish, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, to Yufta, the Rav to Yufta. That shows Rav is wrong. There's no way out of this. Rabbi Yehuda clearly does not hold that Hadar is a definition in beauty. It rather has something to do with an identification of the species.
By the Hekesh?
What's the heckish? There's no other than by an esrog. There's no other by an esrog. There's nothing to be makish it too. Which the Gemara immediately turns upon. This is a fascinating way to get to a new halacha. Yes, the Gemara of a low boy hadar. We know the Rebbe Yehuda. We have rise. Rebbe Yehuda does hold of hadar. Lo nant nan hayoroki karti. Let's say that you have an esrog which is green like a leek. So Rabbi Meir, remember that we have to identify the color yarok, because the color yarok in Hebrew includes a wide band, a spectrum of colors that ranges from the yellow all the way to the deep green. It's all called yarok. As a matter of fact, we have to, the Tosfos goes through all types of calisthenics to identify exactly what yarok karti is, because he brings the colors in terms of dam nida, yarok, which supposedly yarok has in it elements of tumah. If you're calling yarok what people call green, instead of what's called in French yellow, he brings yellow. So if it's not yellow, then it doesn't have any similarity to red. You could say yellow borders.
This is his version of karti.
What's his version? Yeah, but this is not Tezos Hashem. This is the karti. This is the Rosh that he's showing you. But again, we'll get to the pictures. I promised you.
There were, a few different colors.
We'll get to the what they did in starting Bezos Hashem tomorrow. I just wanted to get to the subject of mitzvah b'avera, and so it was so complex.
Which part of this is the cartier?
Oh, that's a good question.
from light green to dark.
That's right. Yeah.
All
right, so again, we'll talk about the Prote Dinim tomorrow. We'll start talking about. We didn't even talk about the shear of Yovesh, by the way. What is called Yovesh? How dry is dry? I mean, there's a dry that the Gemara talks about. We talked about Gabe Kashris, something that's 12 months old. We talked about the question of Yayin Esser that had been used a vat for Yayin Esser. But 12 months old, it's considered to be dry. Is that what it's talking about over here? That it's 12 months old? Does it suggest over here the din of dry is in terms of nifrechet, that when you rub it with your fingernail, it crumbles. Yeah. Others learn dry is a function of color, which is a real problem, because if you learn like those Rishonim that say dry is anything that's white, it's kimat impossible to find a lulav that isn't possible. This is a very serious problem, and we paskin to be machmer like this, because we paskin to be machmer on Yovesh, even if it was nishtana tamara lavnunit, so it's white, and it's white even on the top of the tiyanis, because the things that pasel in a lulav, again, this is dependent how we learn olav. Does olav mean those two middle leaves, or as Tesis proves from our sugya, means all of the leaves, the top of all of the leaves. Not just the two middle, because that's included in Nitlat Yomis. Well, we'll see, there's a lot of machlokes in that. But Lemaisa, if you paskin Lechumran, and even the two top leaves, which is the Rivet is Machmer, the two top leaves are puzzle. If you take a look at the Lulavim, it's almost impossible to find a Lulav that does not have white tops. As a matter of fact, nowadays, I mean, the weather has been horrific. I mean, by the time we get to Lulavim, they are all white on top. All the leaves. No, all the leaves are white. If you take a look at the top of the leaves, it's very, very difficult to find. You can find the 300, 400 shekel a piece of Lulavim, where they're very, very selective, and they bring it in under special circumstances and so on. There you can find, again, 1 out of 20. Something that isn't white on top. So this could end up being a very big chumra.
Dry.
White. If white is enough to make it dry, then you got a big problem.
But that's not the whole thing. Just
yeah, but that's how many Rishonim are machmir, just the top.
Is it lulav and
yodesh? That's a yodesh. Because it says that's the pshat of nitla olav.
That's
the part that's kosher. Yeah, so that's the thing. A lot of people, because it's true, a lot of people dafka like, for a number of reasons. But one of the reasons is the knepel ones that are bent over, protected from the sun. So they're, first of all, they usually don't split, and they're usually not broken, and they're greener. A lot of people are makbid dafka to use the bent over tips, as long as that's kosher. The problem is, I mean, we'll see later on, a bent lulav is also not kosher. Shaila is whether that includes the olim of the lulav. You can't win. I mean, but maybe you could take six different lulav and one of them would be kosher according to somebody. So. It's not so kosher. I find it's much harder to find a kosher lulav than to find a kosher esser.
Walking, just choose an opinion and all the things. Go there for sure.
What kind of disastrous thing is this? You want to destroy all of the fun? This is terrible. What kind of business is this? The guy wants to go back to halacha. This is ridiculous. Okay, so ask the Gemara, doesn't it say if it's green? So Rabbi Yehuda Mach, Rabbi Yehuda's Pesel. Why would Rabbi Yehuda be Pesel green? Does he have? He has some problem with green. Unless he holds it, it's not nice. It's not as pretty. So it must be, it's a psul and hadar. I thought you just said Rav Yehuda doesn't hold the hadar. Make up your mind over here. Says, well, no, there are psulim in the etzem etrog. He holds the fact that it's green is a sign of immaturity. And therefore, it's not the complete etrog. So mishum de lo gomar pira. Now, lemaisa, many of the peskim say, even aliban Rebbe Yehuda that if it could be turned yellow, like we do by putting it in together with apples, if it would stay a long time in a container, that it would turn yellow. If it would turn yellow, then it's already mature. It's not as if it's maturing off of the tree. It's just allowing the chemicals that work out the color to work it out. So then it's the equivalent of yellow. So that the karti over here would have to mean that you wouldn't be able to turn it. Then it would be a problem in the etzem esrog. Not everybody's made it to that, so therefore they suggest that you should turn it yellow. And it's not enough that it would be yellow, turnable to yellow. Yeah, they expect everybody to put it in. There's a trick, you know, you put it in with apples, and you close it in a bag, and it just turns it almost instantly, it turns yellow. So it's because of logam up here. Okay, how about this? Lashma, shiur etro katan, Rabbi Meir Omer ke'egoz, Rabbi Meir Omer ke'beitza. How do you explain this? Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold you need such a significant size in a esrog? It has to be the shear of a beitza. Lav mishum deboy hadar, is that, again, it's not because it has to have, like, you know, a chosh of a look to it. No, mishum de lo gamar peir. That, too, is a din in the etzem esrog. So, in other words, some of the psulim that people take for granted are issues of hadar, could be they're more significant even than Hadar. They define the nature of an esrog. Tashma, how about this one? Ubegadol, Kadesh Yafur Shlaim Yadu Achaz Div Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda says the maximum size of an esrog is that you should be able to hold two of them in your hand. Reb Yehuda says, on the contrary, hold one esrog in both hands. Well, you never saw a good tamani esrog the size of a watermelon. So if you need two hands to hold your esrog, also good.
On his shoulder.
That's right. My time, we're going to get to that. My time, lav mishum deboy hadar, isn't it just that he holds that if it's the size of a watermelon, it's not kishmak, it's not a nice looking etrog. No, that's not the reason. It's given the Amar Rabba Lulav Biyamin, v'etrog b'smol, since we see later on that Rabba holds that you have to have your lulav, because it's three meanings, it's more choshev, it goes in your right hand. The etrog goes in your left hand. I suppose somebody hands you a lulav and esrog opposite. It happens all the time. They hand it to you from their hands, it goes to the wrong hand. So then you got to take it, you got to switch it. But by the time you switch the esrog, which is the size of a watermelon, it's possible. Either it falls or it hits something in the lulav, it makes a hole in it or something. It's always a problem when you have to. You know, you're fumbling around with your Sefer Hoshana book and so on. Plenty of us esrogim die for the Hoshana books. So he says, if we allow you to have such a big esrog, so then likely it is you're going to pass on it. V'yosu lafuchinu. So you come now to switch it around. V'yosu lafuchinu. As you switch around, you're going to end up passing your esrog. So what it means? But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says hadar. Doesn't it say hadar? I mean, how does he ignore that? No. He says, Hadar is the pshat. It's an identification of what an etrog is. Not that it's a pretty etrog. It's hadar be'ilono mishana l'shana. It's the fruit that allows the living fruit from the year before to continue to live into the next year. And that identifies what an etrog is, as opposed to a lemon. A lemon taka wouldn't do that.
The word hadar, we use as all the citizens are called hadar. So
that's a modern idea.
It's not nothing to do with.
No.
So everybody understand? The difference is because from year to year.
Hadar. Dar means to live, to continue to live in a place.
So it doesn't die.
That's how we know that it's an esrog. There's no. It doesn't drop at the end of a season. It stays on the tree. It will keep growing through the next season. That's how you get these enormous esrogim.
But we have oranges, wild orange. We have. Fruit from last year, which is still on the tree and already the new fruit.
You do?
They have the chushchash. Chushchash is the wild oranges. They go.
If the oranges over there all fall off. At the corner of Galad.
The old fruit stays on while the new fruit comes on.
Really?
Remember, they also blossom twice.
There.
Yeah.
They're not edible, but.
No, they're not edible. That's true. It's a shame. They sure look at them.
Yeah.
Oh, should we run out and pick some lulavei gefanim that are good? We have to do that this morning. We don't let him live down certain things. That's why he never says anything. Shelo yitafes. Shelo asherah v'shel ira nidachat. The next thing that the Gemara, the Mishnah brought, was that if you have a lulav that comes from an asherah tree, so then, your nidachat is not kosher. Ask the Gemara, shel asherah apostle, v'amar rava lulav shel avodezara, lo yitol. Look, you have a lulav, that's a lulav of Avodezara. So the goyim also, by the way, have
Palm Sunday.
So they take the lulav and they pass it in front of the Avodezara, and this becomes a takruvas to Avodezara.
And
so, yeah, right. I don't think so. It's Sunday. It's their imitation of sukkahs. The Christians they use all of the inyanim of. From the Torah, they remained with their minogim, you know, but they just make some new thing out of it. Who?
Muslims
also use palm
for funeral.
Ah, for funeral. Interesting.
They walk in,
yeah.
Is this owned by Avodazara, Shrovis, or worship?
No, either it was worshipped or it was used to be as a broom.
Ritual.
In
the
house.
They clean up in front of the Aveda Zohar L'Chveda, or they actually pass it in front of the Aveda. Rashi says there was also an Aveda to throw the lulavim at the Aveda Zohar. You know, it's what the Jews do after Sukkot. They throw it, they throw it on top of the Aron Kodesh. They figured it must be an Aveda. So they very interesting. So Lamaisa, you shouldn't use it. Why shouldn't you use it? Because it's disgusting. I mean, you're going to use something that was used in a church for Avedas Hashem. But Lamaisa, technically speaking, there's nothing wrong with it. Because what are you going to say? That it's a Surah Anoa. Okay, but if it's a Surah Anoa, mitzvot lav lehenas nitnu. Now, mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. It's not the personal Anoa that I'm getting from. Of course, as Tosfos points out later on, there's another problem, though. It's a problem if the Tzirei Anoa doesn't belong to you. Because you can't own something which doesn't belong to you. There's no financial, there's no way of creating a financial hold on it because it doesn't have any value. So, Zeno Finami, this is talking about the other days, I have to say. And otherwise, it would be a problem of Lachem. Fine. But whatever the case is, there's no din that it's bad, it's impossible. So, im not al kasher. You were talking about the Asherot that the Torah said that these were the Asherot that existed at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bishat Knisah La'aretz. So it says over there, Vashereihem Tisrufum Be'esh. It's a special halacha that they need to be burned. Tosfos is mechalek between cases where it belongs to a Yisrael or it belongs to an Akum, or cases where an Akum were mevatel or were not mevatel. As if an Akum is mevatel, so then it's not, it no longer is considered to be Aveda Zorah. The truth is that that's only the halacha legabe the Aveda Zorah itself. And that's what we're referring to over Asher as a worship tree. But the case of the Lulavim, when the Lulavim were used as Takrovis, is a big problem because Takrovis are never bought them. There's no heter on Takrovis. Tosfos brings three possible differences. Difference between a Jewish Aveda Zorah, which is never bought on a Goyisha, or perhaps a difference where the guy was mevatelet, in some case he wasn't mevatelet. Whatever the case is, again, it's more of an Aveda Zorah sugya. Over here, we're talking about an asher that's mechayev burning. This is also an afkamina if it was planted specifically for that purpose, or you decided to use it after it was planted. It's also a third difference. So the time when Moshe Rabbeinu came in, the Torah said any existing asherah needs to be burned. So that yirani dachas is exactly the same. And yirani dachas needs to be burned. And that's the key. That's why the two are put together. Yirani dachas and asherah. What does burning make an afkamina? You didn't burn it. Because since it's going to be burned, it has no longer any chashivas of having a shira, because it gets oyved l'sreifa. So we look at it as if it's already burned in the sense of its chashivut. So mumela, it's talking about over here, diktute miftat shiure. It's missing, the shira is ground down. Ktute means it's rubbed down. So it's as if, halachically speaking, any shira that you give it, the whole point of a shira is that it has to have a specific presence. There's no presence of something which is meant to be burned. So it's as if you're constantly grinding down the existing shear, and therefore it doesn't supply you. It may give you everything else you need. It may give you your hadars, it may give you the lachem, it may give you anything else you need. But there's no lulav that's kosher in terms of shear. Deikanamin, I'll prove that to you. Diktani dumi irani dachas. Why does the Mishnah put together irani dachas davka together with the shear? Because these are the two cases that you're bechuyav to burn. So it's the burning that's the problem. It's not the Yisrei Hanah that's the problem. And therefore, Erachinami, if there wasn't a fear of a burning, there was just a problem of Moses, or there was a problem of the Yisrei Hanah, but not on the first day, so I don't have to worry about it, Tzvinglachan. So then, B'riyavad would be kosher. It's not nice, but B'riyavad is kosher.
For Chometz.
Huh?
So like, it would
be a double mitzvah.
Do we look at something that obligates us to burn something in the future as if now it's burnt, even though it's,
right.
We can hold it right in front of us?
Correct,
right now.
Correct.
If
it didn't have a shear, there's some things that don't have a shear. They don't have a din of a shear. So they're here. You can't deny the fact that they exist.
Right.
But a shear is not a din in existence.
Right.
A shear is a din in presence.
Presence.
Presence. That's the point. It's a required presence. So mamela, if it's aimet to be sorrow, you can't give it the chashivut of the shear. And therefore, it's a fascinating idea. So you have to distinguish between its existential presence, say it's something that doesn't require a shear. Does it necessarily require a shear? We just saw yes. Egos, kibetza, whatever the shear is. So therefore, it could be it would apply to an esrog as well, if that's a din in a shear. If it's a din in gemar pire, then maybe not. That already depends how we're going to learn the sugya before. But a lulav definitely requires a shear that we saw in our Mishnah. The lulav has to have enough for the three tvachim, plus enough to be menanea, which shows, by the way, that there's a fee of to be menanea in the din of the lulav proper. It's not just like a cute thing that we do. But if the lulav is chaser, that shear for nianua, it's not considered a kosher lulav. That's b'chol important nekuda. Right? It means that when the Gemara refers to the lulav as a hishana, that's the way they call a lulav. What we call a lulav, they call a hishana. It means that they view the whole ikr of the lulav, the moving about during the hishanas. That's a question whether that's considered also to be a requirement, which we'll get to later on in the Dinim of Hishana. But it's a fascinating thing. By the way, there's a very curious Meiri who talks about why Dafka the Hadassah is called Hishana. It isn't clear. We said yesterday the Hishana is called the Hadassah, it's called Hishana even when it's growing. There's a Meiri that says that the Iker of the Lulav is the Hishana, is the Hadassah. What is that supposed to mean? If you take a look at a Temani Lulav, all you see is Hadassah. Mm-hmm. Because they cover everything with Hadassah. That's beautiful. I guess because of beauty. So apparently, I mean, the Temanim have a lot of old minogim that are very, very authentic. Maybe that's what the Miri was referring to. That's like the main thing that you see.
But they still have to have a rubber.
I mean, if they were back, but on, yeah, of course. Yeah, you have to have all the three minim in your agar. But the thing that you notice that's very bolate is the hadassim. Of course, if they would all be looking for mishulashim, you'd be a multimillionaire. Right. It is, but it's I'm saying, but since it's an Aved Azara issue, but as I said, Tesis brings a couple of inyanim to be machalic between the cases. What is so unique about those Asheris? Okay, to be continued. Let's check in Zululand. Great, tell us the story.
Only had us seen that my late father could find.
Where was this? Tell us.
Middleburg, Transvaal. The only had us seen could find was the hedge of a church.
A hedge around the church. The only had us seen.
But for kosher, were mishulash.
Really, they were mishulash.
Yeah,
wow.
Mishulash.
Because generally speaking, naturally occurring hadassah.
Since halachically they were considered burnt,
they'd be down. Wow, that's amazing.
The heads of the tomato.
So what did they do? They used them?
Yeah, they weren't part of the Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't understand what he needed this for. And he said, I can take what you like. Yes.
Oh, that's cute.
The priest said, take what you like.
Son Rabbani, Ksuka Gzula, Mesachech, Pershut Rabbim, Rabbi Yezir Poser, Rachamim Akshirim, Rabbi Nachman Machlokes, Pershut Tokef, Et Chavir Ovohot Siyom, Misukato, Rabbi Yezir, Otay Meid, Yomrein Adam Yotze Yidei Chovato, Besukato Shechavaro, I Karka Nigzelet, Suka Gzulahi, If Karka Ain't Nigzelet, so then it's a Suka Shulahi, but either way, it wouldn't be good. Of course, Rabbi Yezir himself, Lamaisa holds Karka as Nigzelet. Since they lemaisot karka in an exile, sukashulahi. Avogazal etzim mesichech. By the way, that's a pashen. Isn't a shiula where you force the guy to lend it to you? Isn't that considered to be exile? That's a pashen, huh? So it's a weird way to say shiula. I'm just borrowing it. Avogazal etzim. So v'sichech ben divrei hakol eino lo dumei etzim. Mimai miliktani dumei rishus harabim. Ma rishus harabim is in the karka lav didei. The case of the sukkah there is also talk about a sukkah dami lav karka didei. Ahi savta, ta'atai l'kamei Rav Nachman. I don't know, if Ahu Saba is Eliyahu Navi, you think Ahi Savta would have to be married to him? Probably not. So she came to Rav Nachman. Omrole. Reish galusa v'kulo rabonin d'vei reish galusa v'sukkah gizula v'yasui. Omrali, I can't believe this. But in lala to be eating the light. Omravina, I can show the metalal to the gizula. Avdi le rabbana takanta bishut takonas morish. I should hope so. Shita, my shlami eating. No, ma de tena eating shrif, and I will shrif, and alo. Kamashlam, huh? Furthermore, ani mila begoshiva, avol basa shiva da beine, v'i chibro betina, afil hafa shiva nami. Nekes yod la domi. Tana, yod esh pas, repeat a mach. Omer rava machlok is dafka belula. Rabbon, it's ever makshin lula v'yesug, nasug ba yodar, af lula ba yodar, repeat a sevada makshin lula v'yesug. But the esug itself for sure being in hadar, even repeat is mega. Belula v'la bay, repeat a hadar. What's not repeat on the Yagdinim of the Mala? My time allowed me from the Boyoda? No. Can you tell me time? Repeat on me from Rabbi Tarfi. Dash is the word kaput marim, a lotion of kafut. Vim haya parud yechavteno. The low boy hodar, but then eno gdimet alula vela bemina div reviuda. My time must be mishum hodar. No. It's because, look, Rava says a feel besiv, a feel bikra de dikla, not very hodar. And on my time reviuda, also, the kasava lula tzarech haga. In my semina achrina, vele chamisha mina. Ube etro, mibay rav yura, adar, vatanya, arbaat, minim shabalulav kishem shem pochatim meyam tachim mosifin aliyam. Lo matze etrog, lo yavi, lo parish, vele rimon, vele dover acher. Kemushim kshirim, yveshim, psulim. Rav yura imer. Af yveshim. Ha'om rav yura ma'aseh, livnei krofim, shayu morishim et ulavim, livnei veneyim. Omru lo, Misham Raya, Inchas at Chak Raya. Katani Mias Rabira, Imer Afi Veshin Kshirim, Zamai Lava Esrik. Lo, Alulav. Omer Mak Shemshin Pavati Mem Kachi Mosi Finela, Im Shita. Mahata Tema Hove Omer Avira Lulav Tzorech Agat. Vi Maiti, Min Hafrin Hailo Kodei Koi Vailo Kodei Koi, and therefore doesn't matter. Koma Shmoman. Omer Mar, Lo Matzah Trog, Lo Yavi, Lo Rimon, Lo Parish, Lo Dover Acher. I should hope not. No, because Mada Tema Laita Gehechad Lot Tishakach Torah Tetrog. Kamash Vlan Zindinafik Horbimine. The Asila Misrach, to get attached to the Parish. Next thing you know, is, what is that yellow thing over here? We have a Misera, it has to be red with all these little seeds inside. That's Toshma. Etrog Ayavesh Pasil, Ribidamakshir, Tiyufta Rava Tiyufta. Veloboy Adar, Vanant Dan, Ayaroki Karti, Ribidamakshir, Ribidamakshir, Ribidamakshir. Why is that? La Bishunda Boy Adar. Lo, Bishunda Logomar Peira. Tashma Shir Etrokatan, Ribidamakshir goes, Ribidamakshir Beitsa. Why is that? La Bishunda Boy Adar. No, Bishunda Logomar Peira. Toshma, ubigado, kideshia falls, shnayim biyada achastim rebiyada. Rebiyada says, even one esek in two hands. So it must be rebiyada holds my time, I'm from the boy hadar, if it's so big, it's not so nice. No. Even the Omar Rabba Lulabi Amin Vetrog is small. Zim the Machafi Lais, you'll have to switch hands. How can you switch hands with an Esrog so big? Otulafuchinavati Lipsulein. For Elul Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't it say Hadar Beferish? Ahu Hadar, meaning not Hadar beautiful, but Hadar the Ilano, Mishana Lishana. No, we're not talking about the fact that it was Aveda Zora. We're talking about the Asher of the Meshaskina. It's not a problem in Stam being Aveda Zora, either Mos or Yisrei Hano. They can only, which is a Din Davkin Sreifa, Shema Minot, because of Ktutei Mechtat Shiurei.